You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your host, George Papazov.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast, helping you develop the winning mindset of professional traders. I am your host, George Papazov. If you have not already done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And if you're not a member in our free trading room, join us now at community.tradeproacademy.com and trade with their team every single day. And now let's get started with today's episode. You know, at the start of a trading journey, it's very common to have the problem, especially for newer traders, that they use too much leverage. Why? Why do they trade so big right at the beginning when the knowledge is the lowest? Well, naturally, we are excited. We're humans. We're new. We don't know what we don't know, and we just want to make a lot of money, right? Isn't that why we get in this industry? We want the kind of returns people with 5, 10, 15 years of experience are generating and posting on social media. The problem is we want it today. We don't want to wait. We want what other people have today. And part of that issue is, you know, we're used to getting that kind of fulfillment out of social media, out of TV, out of other sources that really allow us to have things without having to put an effort into earning them. This is where that problem comes from. So what do the newer traders do? They trade big, all right? They size up. They have a small account, but put their leverage to the maximum and inevitably run into a bad trade. Oftentimes, it's just one single trade. What ends up happening is they lose that trade and they lose big and they lose a large part of their trading account, all right? That person or that trader, they're shocked. They're stunned. Suddenly, they also become fearful, all right? And they become paralyzed by risk, where at the beginning, they were excited about the opportunity of, you know, doing a new job, taking their career in their own hands, having a schedule that they get to manage, being free. All those marketing things that were spewed at people constantly, Facebook ads, Google ads, all kinds of ads, all right? Social media posts, this is easy, just start trading. All that stuff created opportunity, but to get that opportunity, they sized up an enormous amount at the beginning when they had the lowest knowledge. And with that loss, now they're hyper-focused on risk. They don't want to lose any more money, all right? So then they immediately cut down their trading size to the lowest amount possible, right? You start with opportunity, you face the loss, and now you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to have to cut back. Clearly, this isn't as easy as I once thought. But now the problem is that you've sized down, the returns are now so small. You know, so small, in fact, that it could take you 50 years at this rate of being consistently profitable to earn back the loss that you generated on just one trade. Now, 50 years is a bit of a stretch, all right? Maybe not necessarily. It could literally take some people 50 years. Hopefully, that's not the case, all right? But it is important to know that when you size down because of a big loss, it will take you a very long time to overcome that loss financially, but more importantly, mentally. So this really crushes your confidence. So in today's episode, I'm going to discuss a few scenarios, six in particular, that could indicate that you're actually trading too small and why that might be. Now, I want to emphasize, obviously, for legal reasons, a disclaimer, trading size is a very personal thing, all right? Almost, I'm resisting here to slap in a really funny joke. I'll skip it. Funny, somewhat, and mildly inappropriate. But only you could make the decision at the end of the day of how much to size up and when. All right, this is what's important. There's no magic formula, no magic pill, no person that could tell you what you should do with your capital. So this is a personal decision, but let me present to you six signs that your trading size might actually be too small. All right, not too big. It might actually be too small and you may need to consider scaling up. All right, sign number one, you are moving your stops, your stop loss orders to increase risk when a trade goes against you. All right, think about this. Let's use the example of getting long into a position. You buy something, you open up a trade to the long side, hoping that the market moves up and you make money, obviously. Initially and immediately, this trade goes your way a little bit. You feel good. Then suddenly it starts to turn. It goes south. The market drops fast. All right. And since your loss is only a few dollars, so hey, you know what? It's a small loss. You say to yourself, what the heck? I'll just move my stop. I'm only losing $5 on this trade. I only planned based on where my stop placement should be on my strategy, or the, you know, on what I'm doing, my edge, my approach. You know, I just move my stop. It's only $5. Even though that's what you plan to lose, now you're losing more than you planned. The second you move that stop to increase your risk from the position. If you're long, all right, that means you're moving your stop lower. All right. Then it drops more. You decide once again, you know what? I'm going to move my stop. And you keep doing it until the loss of that one small trade is bigger than you had planned at the beginning. All right. I want you to understand that this all starts with the decision that, you know, these losses are small. I could stomach this. This is why I'm trading small, so I could take losses. I could deal with this. It's okay. But when the risk is too small, your trades are more risky. The risk of it going south and you deciding to move your stop because you're not really feeling the pressure of the loss is what increases the risk. Because why the heck not? It's just $5. All right. So if you're moving your stop loss to increase your risk against your strategy, psychologically, what this could be telling you is that the risk is too small. You really don't have skin in the game to care enough about this trade. It creates problems and escalating losses and low win rates. All right. So that's sign number one. Sign number two is that you're moving your take profit orders when price gets close to them. This is sort of the flip side to sign number one. Right? Where in the first example, you're moving your stops. Now you're moving your take profits. It's the same situation, really, except this time it's just pure natural human greed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right. So the way this works is, you know, you used to say to yourself, hey, this one trade is finally going my way. All right. I've lost so much, you know, especially on that one trade that we talked about, that one trade that lost 70% of my account balance. I kept losing. Finally, here I am. I was right. I'm profitable. My plan works. Holy moly, I'm doing this. I am a trader again. But I'm only up $30 on this position. $30 is not going to pay my bills. It's not going to help me quit my job. It's not going to help me retire. So you know what? $30 is great. But you know what they say? When you're right, add money to your trade. Everyone tells you that, right? So you go from, I'm up $30 and doing a decent job, to saying it's time to make a killing on this position. It's time to suddenly make my one loss back, the one that haunts me and has been haunting me this whole time. So what do? You get close to your profit target. You say $30 is not enough. You move your take profit to the level of what money you want to make. You say, hey, $30 isn't good, but you know what's great? $1,000. That's going to chip away at my loss. So let me move my take profit to where I'm going to make $1,000. Or even worse, you increase your position size. The problem is, if you increase your position size, you're now not taking risk off and taking profit where you should be. You're now increasing your risk at precisely the worst moment in the market structure. Because, hey, why do you have a profit target? Because you think the probability of this trade continuing wanes or decreases as you approach a big resistance, hence why it's your profit target, right? It's a target for a reason. If it gets here, you say to yourself, you know, at all odds, it's a good place to take some profit and get my position off. But instead, you do the exact opposite and you end up buying the top out of pure greed. You want to take that 30 and make it into 1,000. All right. But here's what I'm here to tell you. Sizing up or moving your profit target, which is the same thing, really, you want more money, based on a target of what you actually want to make, is completely irrelevant to market conditions. This is when you consciously are making the decision to really not follow the market. You're not out there looking to take away what it's giving you. You're looking out there to force it to give you something that may not be present. All right. This here is a big sign that you're trading too small. Okay. It's not going to really help you hit your goals. And, you know, even when you do well, because what it's going to do is get you in at low risk entries, it's going to get you in at high risk entries with low probability trades. So when you approach that take profit order, you know, stop focusing on how much money it is and start taking small wins, start building your confidence back up. It's not about making a killing in one trade. All right. That's number two. So, sign that your trading size might be too small. Number three is this: you get yourself into a trade expecting to lose, expecting to get your stop hit. We had someone in the office that was a trader with us that always used to say, oh, go ahead, take my stop. They would taunt the market. Go, take my stop again. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to get stopped out. And, you know, this here becomes an expectation to get stopped out. And that expectation isn't really because you want to lose money. Let's face it. No matter how bad we're trading, we're not putting trades on because we want to lose. We're putting trades on because we want to win. It's only after we get in do we turn that into an expectation of a loss. Why? Why do we expect to lose? Because that's pattern. That's a habit, pattern, and track record that you've created for yourself. So you get into a trade and you say, you know what? I'm gonna get my stop hit anyways. The win rate on your trading has been really small lately. You know, your confidence is even lower than your win rate. And really deep down, you know you'll just have another losing day. No matter what you do, you just know you've decided, you know, today I might have a few winning trades, but if I get a losing day, I won't be surprised. You don't plan to have it, but when you do have it, you're not surprised. Instead of stopping at that point to reassess your whole strategy, your approach to the market, working on yourself, working on your craft, doing some personal development, you know, taking some of our courses, psychology, or some of the technical know-how of order flow trading, you choose to cut your size down. You say, you know what? I'm not doing so well. I've been told to cut your losses and make them small. So you choose to cut your size down so low on your trades that you can stomach it. But here's the thing. If your confidence is damaged and your trading isn't performing well, you're going to cut your size down extremely low, to the point that you make the losses so small, they don't matter to your lifestyle, right? So here's an example. Maybe you want to make $500 a day, all right? You have a $5,000 account. You want to make $500 a day, which is a really big expectation at the beginning. And you say to yourself, I'm going to do this. You lose $4,000 and now you switch to the micros and futures or one share or one option contract, whatever it is, and you only risk $5 a trade a day. Right. The problem here is that your winners are also going to be small. Yes, you've cut the risk, but your returns are not going to be really a way of getting you to your goals either. All right. This type of movement or action is, you know, getting into a trade expecting to lose and then dropping your trade size so small that when you lose, it doesn't hurt. This is a way of hiding, masking your true challenges, all right? So you don't have to work on them. And I'm being brutally honest here because I've experienced this too. There's none of these things I know are based on just Googling things. These are things deep down I know that I've had to work on, right? This is the beauty of it. When I tell you this stuff, it doesn't come from a place of I think. It's not an academic knowledge. It's an application knowledge. I've been here before, believe me. I'm going to cut my size down so I don't have to work on this. It's going to be harder for me to go introspective, deep down, soul searching to ask myself, you know, what's really wrong here? What am I doing wrong? Because trading isn't a job that anyone could really, you know, impart on you. You're the boss. You chose this. You're doing the work. The results are pure. They're raw. And really, they're your doing, whether they're good or bad. We're not comfortable with that in everyday scenarios. All right, we really aren't. We've started giving away participation trophies to people, you know, that aren't winning things. And so it's very inclusive, which is great, but it's very damaging because it takes away the desire to compete. All right. It takes away the desire to have to work on yourself to be great because, hey, you're not going to get acknowledged anyways. But in trading, more specific to get back on track, cutting down your trading size so it doesn't hurt is a way of hiding, masking, or really overlooking your challenges so you don't have to work on them. And at the end of the day, this is a defense mechanism for your ego. You want to hold on to the belief that what you're doing is good still. You don't want to accept that what you're doing isn't working, that what you're doing needs more work, all right? It's challenging. It's an opportunity for you to improve, but you think you're good enough the way that you are. And that's a conscious thought because an expectation of loss is a subconscious way of telling you this is the habit that you formed. All right, super important. That's number three. Let's step into the next one of signs that your trading size might be too small. Number four, all right, your winners are small, but your losses are huge. All right. Until one day you decide, here's how it goes. All right. You've cut down your trading. We're following here a path of a typical trading journey. You start out big. You have some initial success. You lose big. Now you're trading small. Every day your goal is to make $50. And if you can make $50 every day for a month, you tell yourself you're going to increase your trading size. But on day four, when you made $200, you say to yourself, you know what? I'm doing good. Or you're losing small. Either way, whether you're up small or down small after a big loss, it's really the same. You're working on consistency here, right? One day you decide, you know what? I'm down. I started the trade. I'm down. I've lost five trades, for example, but luckily I'm only down $50. Typically, this is where I should stop. But $50 is $50, and I want to play. I want to continue. Today, I'm going to fight back, all right? Who doesn't love a good comeback story, right? It's like Hollywood's full of them. And today is your movie. Today is your opportunity. Today is the opportunity that you become the motivational, inspirational Hollywood story, all right? James Cameron, I don't really know too many good directors. I don't watch many movies, to be perfectly honest with you, but James Cameron's going to call you tomorrow morning once you read your story in the newspaper. You're going to get press coverage. MSNBC, CNBC, Bloomberg, all right? Wall Street Journal is going to want to interview after this kind of day. Today you come back, right? And you say, I hate losing regularly, even small amounts, and you scale up. You decide today a $50 loss is just not good enough. I need to make back my money that I've lost in that one trade. And this all goes back to that one trade that really put you off course to begin with at the very beginning because you were trading too big back then. All right, so you scale up. You want to make back the losses. You know that if you lost five trades with good risk management, you're down a small amount. You could make it back with one slightly bigger trade. All right, so you decide to scale up, not because you're doing well, but because you want to recover those losses and get back to the fast track of getting to the area before you had that massive loss that hurt your account. And you scale up and you lose again. And now you say, hey, you know what? A slightly bigger trade will get me back to break even. If I could only get back to break even today, I'm happy. Right? And then you scale up even more, you lose that trade. Scale up, lose that one. And then just when you go to put your last trade on, you get that message that says you're at a margin. Unfortunately, you can't execute this trade because you don't have enough capital in your margin account. And that's the moment the market turns back to the upside and rips in the initial direction and gets to the point where, yeah, you would have made a ton of money, but you don't have the capital to be on the team. All right, you have a blowout day. You give back weeks. You give back months. Heck, even years of profitability in that one session. You went for consistency. Consistency was good enough up to this point, but now you suddenly turned your focus on making back your losses. And what you've done is you've incurred more losses. All right, this is crushing. Not to your profits, because you could always make money, right? If you're alive, if you're healthy, if you have the desire, the will to work, to grind, to hustle, you're going to make back any kind of money that you're down. This is mostly crushing to the confidence, to your ability as an operator, to your ego that you're holding on to, because if you weren't, then we go back to tip number three. You get into a trade expecting to lose to get your stop it. If you didn't have ego, you would already be trading bigger. That's one of the big takeaways I wanted to drop on you in this episode. Let me say it again. If you didn't have ego, you would already likely be trading bigger than you are. All right. And typically after this kind of blowout day, you know, you're going to, if you don't blow out your full capital, you're going to keep trading big until you do blow out your full capital because you get that closure when you're finally out of money. Because you're really used to, hey, why the heck not type of trades. I'm going all in, YOLO. If it didn't work, now you need it to work so you could get back to a good place. Or if the YOLO worked before, then it's, hey, you know, this is what I need to do. I'm going to keep YOLOing. And eventually, the losses are no longer small and the account gets blown out. The one thing that's really important too that we have to realize here is a lot of these tips seem to occur when you're focusing on loss, aren't they? Look at the ones we've gone so far through the first four. It's the paralyzation. I don't even know if that's a word. Let me Google it. I do have a computer. Paralyzation. Hey, it is a word. Well, I thought I had a claim to fame there. It's the paralyzation of risk. It's your ability or your inability to focus on the opportunity and just keep thinking about the risk. I can't believe I lost so much money. Why am I still losing? How come I can't get green? What is my problem? How come people on Twitter do it and I can't? How come? And all you're thinking about is how much you don't want to lose money. And by thinking about how much you don't want to lose money, because your subconscious brain can't process don't, you're actually thinking about how much you do want to lose money. What you think is what you're focusing on, and what you're focusing on is a direct correlation of what you're about to create. If I could read your mind, I would tell you with, you know, certainty how your day would go, how your life would go. Think about that. The only reason we can't get good advice in life, or we can't get a fortune teller to tell us how we're going to end up, is because we don't open ourselves up to our thought process. That's why everything's so mystifying. If you keep focusing on losses, you're going to keep generating those losses. Simple as that. Let's move on to tip number five, or sign number five in this case, that your trading size might be too small, right? And five is you are trading money that you cannot afford to learn with. Notice how I didn't say lose. You're nodding your head there, and I caught you off guard when I said afford to learn with. You're using money that you can't afford to learn with. This money that you have is for your college tuition next semester, or your kids' college tuition, or you incurred credit card debt to deposit this money. Simply stated, you're trading with money that you just cannot afford to give up for learning lessons. You basically can't afford tuition, but you're hoping to learn. You're hoping to do this. It's said in a more practical way that every blog post talks about, you're trading money you cannot afford to lose. You're not losing it. Losing is a choice. You're learning. And if you choose to learn, hey, I mean, why do we pay $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 for an arts degree with no specialization? Not that anything's wrong with it. I'm not knocking on arts. You go in and run a museum and make millions of dollars. But why do we pay money for a degree just so we make our parents happy and incur this lifelong debt often, but we don't want to invest, you know, a single dollar in our education or a single dollar in our trading account? Suddenly it's a loss. I'm losing. You're not losing. You're paying for education. But if you're using money that you rely on for survival, you have no choice but to scale down. So small, so negligible per trade. Just enough to make you feel like you're still doing something and working on your dream, but ultimately to protect yourself, right? Which is great. You know, don't get me wrong. This is a good motivation. It's a good approach because at least you're focusing on risk, but it chokes out the opportunity as well. And here's what I mean. If you're trading with money you can't afford to lose, the moment you lose it, you're going to trigger self-sabotage. You know, if you say, I can't afford to lose this money, this is earmarked for something I'm going to do in my life, for survival, most importantly, don't trade it. Nothing good is going to happen. You're going to get yourself into emotional and gambling trading within minutes of depositing that capital. All right. If you can't lose it, don't. And if you can't lose it, definitely don't put it into an account that is solely a risk-taking mechanism. All right. That's what trading is. You're taking risk. There's a reward. You're not taking a stupid risk. You're not going bungee jumping without a bungee. You know, that's a risk that you probably shouldn't take. There's no reward there. There is a reward. You can do extremely well, and you could do it really well with a small account. But if the trading money that you're putting in is earmarked for something else and you really can't use it to learn a lesson, think about this. If you can't use this money, you can't afford to learn with it, then you're not going to learn. Simple as that, right? You can't afford the learning lesson. I know you want to go to Harvard or Yale. We all do. Do we? I don't know. Maybe we don't all want to go there. I did. I'd love to go to Harvard or Yale. It's cool. It's become kind of like a pop icon, right? See all those shows, you're Harvard at Yale. You know, I would want to go there just for the networking, to be perfectly honest with you. But I can't. Number one, I couldn't. Number one, because I wasn't traditionally book smart. I wasn't really assessed to be smart in the educational system. You know, 60s to me were like hundreds. I once told my economic professor, he said, you know, you got 50 was a pass in this class. So you got 52%. You know, I know you're capable of more. I said, you know, sir, his name is Harvey, Mr. Harvey, with all due respect, 52 is actually 2% over the efficiency marker because I overstudied by 2%. If all I could do is give it a 50 and pass, then I would have done the thing that's required and it would be the most efficient grade. He kind of laughed at me. He's like, you see, you understand economics better than you think. Anyway, little side story. When you trade with money you can't afford to learn with, okay, you're going to trade small, you're going to manage risk, but you're also going to be making small returns. Those small returns may not be worth your time. Think about this. If you're in a position where you need more money for survival, you need it fast, even if you're making $20 a day, you're not going to appreciate that return. You're not going to appreciate the value of what you're doing, how significant of a win that is if you need more. Because the opportunity cost of working somewhere else and getting consistent money is worth it more than risking it every single day. All right, that's tip number five. Sign number five. I keep confusing those two. Leave them all in there. We're not editing anything. Our podcast is hit record and we go. We capture everything raw for two reasons. All right, number one, I want to capture the true, the authentic recording. And number two, it's a lot of work for our audio editor. If you had to silence out all my stuff, it would probably take 7 hours to edit my 20-minute episode so far, 26 minutes and 43 seconds. All right, tip number six and the last one here. And then we're going to wrap this up in a nice little bundle. You turn a day trade into a Buffett trade. All right, you buy a small amount of stock in the morning or options, right? And you're like, okay, this is just a momentum trade. You know, you look at Vicky's Twitter, he posts a lot of stuff, and you say, hey, I want that too. I pick a stock, I get in. I want to make 50 cents and I am out. I'm out of here. Take that 50 cents per share on, you know, scale it up by 100 shares, whatever it is, 10 shares, whatever your scale is at the moment. I just want to get a 50 cent movement on this stock and peace. I'm out of here. I'm done for the day. And then it goes south. And then you start to lose money. And then you start to immediately think, you know what? I've heard somewhere that it's not a loss until you sell it. It isn't, right? If I'm down, you know, $10 a share and it comes back, am I worse off? Yeah, that's okay. I'll just wait it out. It'll come back. It has to come back. They always do. I'm in this for the long term. I like the fundamentals. I like the leadership. I believe in this company and I love what they do. Buy and hold, baby. You start attending Warren Buffett conferences. All right. You buy his books. You get like a hashtag Buffett t-shirt. You tell everyone about long-term investing. Heck, you might even buy some Vanguard. All that started with an intention to make 50 cents and I'm out. Suddenly, you're holding a stock you knew nothing about, but you're now spending all your time learning and deep diving into its financial statements because you need to like it because you don't want to take a loss. All right. And then it haunts you for 5 years in the future until two things happen. More than likely, it goes bankrupt if you're trading some crappy penny stock, or it comes back. But even if it takes a year and it makes it back, you haven't made any single money for a whole year, but you're happy for that. Think about that. If I told you in the next year, you're not going to make any money at all, would you start trading? And not, you know, there's always possibility and probability, two things that we always have to juggle. If I told you, I guarantee you in the next year, no matter what you do, you're not going to make money. You'll probably say, screw that. I got other stuff to do with my time. Opportunity cost is high. But if it takes a year for you to make up a loss on a stock, yes, it feels good to your ego. All right, but you suffered the emotions of bag holding for a long time. It's more damaging to your psychology. And at the end of the day, you didn't make any profit. It wouldn't have been any different than if you cut that loss immediately on the day of. You didn't turn this day trade into a Buffett trade. And you just focused on the next opportunity. You would have made a ton more than just coming back. Coming back is optimal for the ego. It's horrible for the trading account. Waiting for it to come back. cut the loss. All right. So if you're in a situation where you're turning a day trade into a long-term investment, that's a sign you're trading too small because you can have that opportunity. If you were trading bigger, that wouldn't be the case. If you're trading bigger, you just can't afford to let it turn into an investment. You have to take the loss. Big sign that you're trading too small is the ability to be able to do that. Because if there's money on the table, if you got skin in the game, no chance you could let that trade go against you without doing significant damage, not just to your trading account, but eventually to your financial well-being. This is how potent this business could get. It could leave a dark, dark hole that will take you years to make out of. I've heard stories of people doing this kind of stuff and losing everything. Remember, when I started trading, I started in 2001. What happened then? Tech bubble burst. Okay, we're talking about a 50% drop in stock market value. Annihilation of retail traders. And then I joined Scotiabank in 2009 on the trading desk. What was happening then? Complete annihilation of accounts again with about a 48% drop in stock market values and retail getting blown out also. And I can tell you, this could impact more than just your trading. This could put you in a very dark place very quickly. If for no other reason than that, you need a plan, create a plan with an edge. You know the two similarities, by the way, in 2001 and 2009? Is that in 2000 and 2007, the years before the crashes, nobody expected it to happen. It was seemingly out of nowhere and a complete shock. Interesting. That's a thought we should hold on to for another episode. All right, so there's just some of the signs here that you're trading maybe too small. Each one of these is meant to kind of get you to think and put you in a place of reflection to turn the attention inward and to look within yourself and get some answers that you've been looking for. And you're likely not using a strategy with a defined edge. If any of these are a problem, you may not have a strategy with an edge, all right? But choosing when to scale is just a very, very, very personal decision. And it is one that there's no right answer to, unfortunately. Sometimes you just wait too long to scale up, and sometimes you scale up too early. Typically, in an average career, scaling up big starts at the beginning when you know the least. And then scaling down happens when you really should start scaling up. You've lost your confidence. You're ready to increase your trade size after a while, but your confidence hasn't recovered yet. And now you're not really worried about the losses because you've contained them, but now you're not making enough, which then causes you to increase your size for the wrong reason. And you get back to that one loss and the process repeats and repeats. The problem is, what's required of a person to succeed as a trader is the exact opposite of what we've been taught our whole life. That's really the core of the issue. It isn't something that's technical. There's no technical thing that you could learn that'll put you on the fast track. It's more emotional intelligence. It's more awareness, right? Self-reflection. It's psychology and it's success mindset. That's all it is. If you ask me, what are the top people that would make good traders? Say the top 20% of people with mindset, the top people with, let me retry that again. The top 20% of people with success mindset are the ones who have the best shot. And that's what's important. Choosing when to scale, personal decision, it's up to you. The good news is with a well-defined strategy and the right training, even if you do scale up too early, you don't have to worry about it. You'll know very quickly. And you can always come back down to a smaller size. Scaling up isn't horrific if you do it properly. You can always decrease your position size. You can always go back. Here's how you scale up. If you create a risk capital pool before you start to scale, you'll be acting with discipline. You'll be acting strategic, purposeful. So here's how you do that. Just scale up. Don't worry about it. If it feels right for you, you're ready to do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. Disclaimer, I'm not telling you to trade bigger. I'm telling you to reconsider if it might be time for you to trade bigger, but you're the one that has to decide. No one can push you to this decision, decide what's right for you. Just set in a dollar amount that you want to lose before you have to scale down. If you're trading, let's say, two contracts, you want to go to three or four, say, hey, look, in the last 6 months, I've made $20,000 trading. Let me take $10,000 of that, half at most of your profit capital, and let me try to scale up. And guess what? If I screw things up, I've only lost half of what I've made, half of the profit, and I'm not even dipping in the money I started with. Think about how good that sounds. I made $20,000 in market returns. I'm going to use $10,000 to scale up. And if I lose it, I get back to a smaller trading size that's made me the profit. And I'm not only starting with the capital I had, but I'm also keeping some of the profit. Never, ever, ever scale up to erase losses. Ever. If you're down below the threshold of what you deposited in your account, be extremely wary of scaling up. Scale up to increase your returns, not to erase losses. And as always, manage that risk. And that's all for today's episode, Trade Pros. So I thank you for listening. If you loved it, please share it with a friend or someone who would find this message helpful on their trading mindset journey. Also, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. The next one we read on our podcast could be yours. And don't forget to join our free trading room at community.tradeproacademy.com. Until next time, everyone, good luck, good trading, take care, and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.